It's one of my favorite contemporary Christmas songs by a contemporary Christian singer, Michael W. Smith. He so gloriously proclaims, "This child is the Son of God. This child is purest light. This child is heaven's perfect plan, ready to unfold. This child is love divine. This child is the timeless one. This child is the King of Kings." And together as a people, they join in singing, "Gloria, hallelujah, Gloria, hallelujah." A wonderful piece of music. I want to use the KISS principle tonight as we reflect on Christ's birth and what it means for us today. KISS. Not just keep it simple, but rather keep it super simple. The truth is, we're the ones who make the story complex. The Christian message in and of itself is pretty simple. In fact, it is super simple. God came from heaven and was born on this earth. God became a human being. And why? Why did all this happen? To show us just how much God loves us. And to show us the potential as we embrace who God created us to be. And that's pretty much it. And yet we want so much more. And we often need so much more too. As many times as I've heard the story over the years, there's always something, even in the simplicity, that catches my attention. And it is often something that is different from year to year. And that makes sense, because our lives aren't the same from one Christmas to the next. Things happen to us, things happen around us, things happen within us. And we receive a new gift that we need in that moment, a new revelation, or maybe a renewed spirit that's always been there in us, but which has been compromised in some way. When God surveyed humanity, God realized that life on this earth can sometimes be pretty dark and difficult. That we can so easily feel confused about life as we know it and as we experience it. We can be frustrated at what's happening to us and at what's happening in our world. God realizes how much pain and grief there is in the depths of our souls. And God knew something had to be done. God had already done so much for his people. God gave them the law. God sent them the prophets. God was intimately involved in the life and the faith journey of his people. But God wanted to really get the attention of his people in a way that they would recognize him, in a way that they would believe in him, and in a way that they would grow more and more to trust him. God knew that he had to be more personally involved with his creation, which, although created in the perfect image of God, was a fallen creation. And so he came to earth, born as the baby whose birth we celebrate tonight, simply to tell us over and over and over again that we are loved, that we are loved deeply, that we are loved truly, and that we are loved forever. I recently read a remarkable story of a love like this. It's the story of a man who was burned and disfigured in a fire while he attempted to save his parents from their burning house. But he couldn't get to them, and they died. And he was left scarred. He mistakenly interpreted his pain as God's punishment, and so he wouldn't let himself see anyone, not even his wife, and he especially wouldn't let them see him. So she went to a plastic surgeon for help, And he told her, well, don't worry, I can restore his face. His wife was unenthused, though, because her husband had repeatedly refused any help offered, and she knew he would just refuse again. Then why her visit? She said, I want you to disfigure my face so that I can be like him. Because if I share his pain, maybe he'll let me back into his life. The doctor was shocked and denied her request, but he was so moved by her love that he went to speak with her husband. Knocking on the man's bedroom door, he called loudly, I'm a plastic surgeon and I can restore your face. No response. Please come out. Again, there was no answer. And so, still speaking through the door, he told the man of his wife's proposal. You know, she wants me to disfigure her face, to make her face like yours. And all in the hope that you will let her back into your life. That's how much she loves you. It was a brief moment of silence. And then ever so slowly, the doorknob began to turn. The way that woman felt for her husband is exactly the way God feels about us. But God did more than make an offer. God took the initiative. God took on our face. God took on our disfigurement. God became like us in every human way. Through the real life lived by his Son, Jesus Christ, God came to know overwhelmingly all that we feel and all that we go through in our lives. He knew disappointment and grief and frustration and anger. He knew temptation and pain and suffering. But he also knew the joy of the wedding banquet. He knew the joy of feeding thousands at a time on a country hillside, of bringing sight to a blind man, of helping a crippled man walk. He knew what it was like to bring his friend Lazarus back to life. Yes, to be sure, Jesus knew the gamut of human emotions and experiences, from the most stressing and distressing to the most joyous and hopeful. That message, when we really think about it and ponder exactly what God is doing and what God is saying, is awe-inspiring. It's overwhelming that God would do that for you and for me and for all of creation. But I think there's another profound message there too. Because God says, look at my face as I come among you. And notice that I look just like you. And then realize something else. You're not as disfigured as you think you are. And to reinforce that reality, God says, remember, I first created you in my own image, not disfigured in the least. And that, my friends, God says, is still at the core of who you are. And God goes on to say, all I want is an intimate, meaningful, connected relationship with you, like we once had when I first created you. No matter how unattractive or sinful or guilty that you feel you are. I love you, God says, and tonight I'm showing you just how much. I recently read a blog post that asked the question, why an incarnation? What does the incarnation tell us about God and human beings and creation and the cosmos, the end of times, heaven, hell, salvation, or anything else from a progressive Christian perspective? And these were a couple of responses. The first one, honestly, I think it is because we wouldn't listen any other way. The second was, God participates with humanity, experiencing pain, suffering, anxiety, and the feeling of meaninglessness. The third, the incarnation, is an expression of the divine solidarity with the human condition in all of its dimensions. And the response that I like the most, not just to pop in for a quick, "Hello, I'm God. Nice to meet you. You can see I'm real, so go tell everybody." The incarnation is about God's love. It is about God's grace and God's mercy. It's that simple. And nowhere near as complex as we sometimes make it out to be. We might be tempted to ask, with the birth of that child and the brightness of the star in the sky on that dark night, so why does so much still seem to be so wrong and unjust? Wars, they continue, one person against another, one country against another, one culture against another, one religion against another. Homelessness, poverty, terminal illnesses, death, grief, mental health, illnesses, addictive behaviors. We know all too well these are realities. But tonight God says, look into the eyes of that homeless child, or the man who is hungry living in a rooming house, or a woman who is grieving the death of her husband, or the addict who isn't sure he can do what needs to be done, or the one who is abused and is afraid to leave her home and what is familiar and secure, or the one discriminated against by racism and targeted even by police because of the color of his skin. God says, look into their eyes. And God says, you will see my eyes. And hopefully God says, as they look into your eyes, they too will see my eyes looking back. And above you, in that holy and that sacred moment, two people looking into each other's eyes, there will be a shining star in the sky, announcing the reality of the incarnation, not 2,000 years ago, but right here, right now. The message of tonight is hopeful, but there's a challenge for us too. And more than a challenge, I like to think of it more positively as an opportunity. The incarnation, God being born, God coming to life in this very human world with all of its stresses, happens through you and through me. And that's a sacred privilege. That is a holy calling and a holy vocation. Yes, it's so easy to lose the simplicity of the story. But at its core, the child in a manger, the star in the sky, the proclamation of the angels, the journey of the shepherds, they are all about love. God's love for us and our love for one another. May we know, may we trust, and may we believe we're not as disfigured as we think we are. Good can be done through us, and not only can be, but will be, with God's help and by God's grace, simply because God loves us, and God loves all of creation around us, and God wants to work in us, to work through us, and to work all around us. How do we know that? Because truly the child born tonight is there in each and every one of us. He is the incarnation of God. And the truth is, so are we. Amen.